Time to get our local view, get a Tuesday rolling. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. You can see what he's up to on the cover of the Register Guard sports section. Though, in the Sunday Ducks Extra, he was on the back page. I still managed to find it. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter, the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how you doing today?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. I'm glad you made it all the way back to page four on Sunday.
Yep. It was a tiresome effort, but I figure in honor of our weekly chat, somebody had to do it. I want to start off here. I read something on your Twitter account. So is there any truth to the rumor you're considering a position at Gutenberg College in Eugene, apparently the smallest four-year college in America?
From time to time, I have these completely unrealistic ideas about what I'd like to do with my life. And one of those would be to go back to school and study something completely impractical at a tiny college and spend thousands in tuition and probably drop out after a semester is what would happen if I did that. But it's fun to dream, you know?
All right. Yeah, I've often thought about going back and taking music theory or something like that. But
hey, there you go.
So I just wanted to verify because we have a 305 spot on Tuesday to fill. So if it's not going to be you with 13 students, you know, they could barely throw together a punt cover team. But
I could probably start on the basketball team there. which should tell you something about the quality of the team if that were the case.
Yeah, it's gonna be November madness. So after Washington State, Oregon, you know, the passing game struggled under a new starter. Obviously, it was Burmeister. Then they took a step back at Stanford. It is the confusing part that they got Charles Nelson and Dylan Mitchell back. I mean, their complete inability to pretty much throw the ball forward. How concerning is that?
Well, it's obviously a pretty dire situation. The benchmark that I set after watching Braxton Burmeister in his first start was, I just want to see a little improvement every week. It was obvious from watching him against Washington State that he was not close to ready to start in the Pac-12. So I was not going to expect this guy to come out a week later and play at a level of even an average Pac-12 quarterback. I just wanted to see him get a little better. And what we saw, I think, was the other direction. Oregon's passing game regressed from where it was against Washington State, and it wasn't very good against Washington State. And that's it's disappointing because, like you mentioned, Oregon had a couple guys back. They had Charles Nelson and Dylan Mitchell back, but it doesn't matter who you've got playing wide receiver if the quarterback can't find him and can't get the ball down the field. So it was a disappointing outcome against Stanford. It was a step back, and the challenge is still there. next week against UCLA, can Oregon's passing game just get a little better? I don't know. We'll see. It didn't get any better against Stanford.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. In your Sunday article, you hit on something. I guess you throw it in the "that's why we play them" category. Washington State and Clemson lost Friday. The Huskies, Auburn, and some teams in the playoff hunt lost surprising games. But you look at Oregon's offense right now, like we were just talking about. Do they have that rise up and shock somebody in them right now?
See, I don't see it right now, and that's the disappointing thing because, yeah, you look around college football, it's crazy right now. I never would have believed that Cal could beat Washington State, let alone just take them to the woodshed. 37-3, I didn't think Cal's offense could score 37 points against anybody. So right now, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening, but it almost feels like Oregon's just on the outside looking in at all of that until they find a quarterback, because I haven't seen anything from Oregon since Justin Herbert went down that tells me that this team is capable of pulling off the kind of upset that we saw some teams pull off last week.
A lot of conference honks are a little disturbed about the Washington schools losing as far as Pac-12 playoff hopes, as opposed to, going into the Apple Cup unbeaten. Now they join USC with a loss, and while the Trojans do have number 13 Notre Dame this week, the chance for those big attention-getting wins now seems limited. How much of a blow was last week to the league getting back to the playoff, or it's still a little early?
I'm going to come down on the side that it's still a little early, although obviously until last week, Washington was the Pac-12's best shot at getting in the playoff, and Washington's non-conference schedule is such that it's going to be hard for them to overcome losing to a team like Arizona State. So it's going to be an uphill climb now for the Pac-12 to get a team in the playoff, but I'm not ready to say that they're out of it, because I still think a one-loss conference champion from a major conference is going to be in the playoff 90% of the time, or maybe even higher. You know, there's not really any hard and fast rules about you're automatically guaranteed to make the playoff, I guess, unless you go undefeated and win your league. That's right. About as close as it gets. But I think a one-loss conference champion from the Pac-12, whether that is USC or whether that is Washington, I still think that team's going to have a pretty good chance to get in. But also, I look at these teams right now in the Pac-12, I don't see anybody running the table. I just don't. USC, to me, they haven't been the team that we thought they'd be all season. Washington got exposed offensively against Arizona State. That was a pretty pitiful offensive performance against a defense that statistically is not very good. So I don't see a team right now in the Pac-12 that's going to run the table, but somebody could. And if they do, I still think they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if enough people get that. Arizona State had allowed, I think, 30 points or more, 11 straight games. That was just insane. We continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So the Cougs not only lost but got crushed. Bill Moos leaves Washington State for Nebraska. Gary Anderson walks away from $12 million. OSU finds an offense, almost gets a win. We mentioned the Husky loss. Syracuse beats Clemson, all in 6 days. How high up the list of unpredictable weeks was that?
Well, gee, aside from that, not much else happened last week, huh?
Yeah.
It was pretty high on the list. I did that column today, sort of tongue in cheek, of if I'd sat down a week ago last Monday and written all that stuff, it would have seemed pretty believable, you know. So it's just funny to look back a week later and see all this stuff that's changed, you know. Bill Moos leaving Washington State and going to Nebraska, which was just a total eye-opener for me. And it's interesting, you know, basically for the second time in a few years now, Nebraska's going back to the Northwest, hiring a guy sort of at the tail end of his career and bringing him back to be in charge of maybe, you know, one of the most storied athletics programs in the country. A lot of parallels with what they did with Mike Riley. Which is sort of ironic because the new AD they got now is going back there probably to fire Mike Riley unless something really turns around. So that was just one of many things that happened last week that caught me by surprise.
Yeah, caught a lot of people by surprise. Let's get back to Oregon football just to kind of add in something besides, you know, offensive gloom and doom. There were times in that game they're down 14, the defense stuffed a 4th-and-1, the offense went out, and then the defense forced a 3-and-out. I mean, the offense isn't even sustaining drives. You can't keep asking the defense to go to the well again and again and again. Can we at least find some reason to be optimistic about they seem resilient, they're better, and man, those young guys play with a lot of effort.
Well, they do, and I'm still, you know, I feel okay about Oregon's defense. I didn't think the defense played great against Stanford. You know, the problem was the defense got hit in the mouth right out of the gate. You know, when you give up those long runs to Bryce Love right out of the gate, when what was the topic of conversation all week?
Stop Love.
You've got to contain Bryce Love, and you can't give him the home run. And then you give him 115 yards on his first 5 carries. So after that, you know, it was hard for me to grade Oregon's defense real well, given how the game started. But, yeah, you know, I still think that they're competing. It's not like last year. As bad as that game was on Saturday, it didn't look to me like last year where you just had zero confidence in Oregon's defense that they'd be able to stop anybody. So I do think that gives them something that they can maybe build around. But like you said, what they're getting from their offense right now, they just don't have a chance. Now, their offense has got to play better even to give them a chance to be in the game. And then you hope, you know, if your offense can just find something, find some little spark, and maybe your defense can do enough to keep you in a game.
A couple of completely general questions to wrap up. The NBA season begins in about an hour and a half. You get the doubleheader tonight, the new-look Cavs, the Celtics, the champs are a big favorite, Chris Paul in Houston, Paul George in OKC. And obviously there's an NBA team in Oregon as well. So what kind of pops into your head when you think about this NBA season starting?
You know, Steve, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but for me, I feel like the NBA season runs from the end of March Madness till free agency. This right now, to me, doesn't feel like the NBA season. I'll start to pay attention, you know, once football season's over. I'll watch the Blazers. I'll start to tune in a little bit. But NBA in October, you know, just doesn't do it for me. Maybe that's a poor reflection on me as a sports fan. Maybe that's a me problem as opposed to an NBA problem. But I'm not real dialed into it right now.
So you're not hosting the season opening party at your house with multiple TVs?
that will not be happening at my place. Maybe that's going on at your place, not mine.
Actually, no. MLB playoffs, we're down to the final four. The Yankees are playing now, save their season. I always love asking this question, and I've been getting some really interesting responses, especially this year. I mean, we know that they're the evil empire, but, you know, George has passed. There's no Jeter, Rivera, A-Rod, Teixeira, the million-zillion-dollar superstars. They've actually got a lot of homegrown young talent. So are they less obnoxious, less of an evil empire, or who's kidding who? They're wearing the pinstripes. It's time to hate.
Well, first of all, this is at least a couple weeks that I've been on with you with the Yankees in the playoffs, and you have not gloated once. I'm impressed with your restraint. I figured I'd be hearing about it right off the top when I came on with you, but you've exercised admirable restraint in waiting this long to ask a Yankees question. But
thank you.
to your point, it's weird. The Yankees almost do feel like the underdog in all this, which I can't really go there. I can't process that really, because my whole life growing up, the Yankees just represented, you know, the evil empire, you know, the team that had more money than everybody, more talent than everybody. So I can't really look at them as the underdog in the playoffs now, even though they, you know, they sort of are. Of the teams left, they probably got the longest odds to win the whole thing. But yeah, I can't go there. Sorry.
No, I understand. Believe me. It's one. Well, also one of the reasons I haven't been gloating is we went back to my AL East evaluation in April, which came down to me telling Nick and Alex, better be careful. If Tampa gets good pitching from the young arms, the Yankees could finish last. So you want to incorporate, I had minimal expectations, so I'm actually just kind of enjoying this, if that makes sense.
Well, those are fun years. The years you don't expect to make it and you make it, you know, you feel like you're playing with house money at this point in the season. That's fun as a fan. I will say, you know, to you as the Yankees fan, I actually picked the Yankees to get one of the wild card spots.
Oh, that's right.
My preseason column. So
right.
I'll float a little bit.
All right. Well done. And next time I'll pay attention. All right. He's Austin Meek of the Register Guard at Austin Meek RG on Twitter, registerguard.com, or pick up a copy of the paper. Austin, always a pleasure. Thanks for getting us started.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.